We're going to, I'm going to invite Chris and Lori to come up, and we have a little testimony that we're going to share, just coming out of our time of worship. And so, Chris and Lori, can you guys come on up? And we'll, let's welcome them to come forward. You can come right up here, yeah, so everybody can see you. Yes, we're so honored that you guys are here, and we know that the Lord's been doing some amazing things in you. And through you guys. And so we just want to invite you to just share a little bit about what God's been doing.
Fantastic. Excuse me if I'm nervous. I'm not the speaker of the family. And but this is practice because I know God is not done writing my story. And he's bringing a beautiful story about. He's going to have me share. Sorry about that. But anyways, as most of you know, 9 months ago, I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And at that moment, Chris and I started pleading and praying with the Lord for healing. And I know in my heart, he desires for us to be healed and whole, because he says in his word that by his stripes we are healed. And I believe that with every fiber of my being. But I didn't understand why it was that I was still falling apart. When the scans didn't come back like I thought they should, or the doctors didn't say what I thought they should, I just didn't understand it. But he showed me a few things through Pastor Jay and Susie, through some of their sermons that, sorry, I have to keep looking at my notes. The one thing, I think it was Pastor Jay said, are you seeking God as much as the thing that you're praying for? And that hit hard. Because I was praying and pleading and crying out to the Lord to be healed, but didn't look like it was going to happen. And I realized then that I was praying, but I wasn't seeking God. I wasn't seeking him like I should. So it's then that I dove into the word, and it was beautiful because the Lord brought about my word for the year, which was healing. And so I thought, oh, this should be easy. There's, you know, physical healing, that's great. But then I realized there were so many different types of healing in his word. And it didn't all rely on physical healing. And that was beautiful to me because God began to work on my heart. And healing isn't always what the world sees it to be, like the doctors say. It can be in so many different forms. And it's beautiful that I'm learning this because I'm falling more in love with Jesus because he is the healer. So, in the midst of this study, I realized that he's healing, maybe not my body the way I thought, but he's healing my mind. He's healing the broken parts. He's healing the unmet expectations of people in my life, the lies that I've believed for so long, and the hurt and pain that I've carried for way too many years. So it may not look like what people expect, but he is healing in so many ways because I still have joy today. I have more joy today than I had 9 months ago. When those scans don't turn out like they say they should, I still have joy and he is healing me. And this is all just because of him and his love for us. So I ask you guys to just seek him more than what you're praying for, because that's big. And so I had a PET scan, MRI, and a CAT scan 2 weeks ago. Two weeks ago now. And there's only one active area of cancer in my body right now. God is so good. One area. That means there's three other organs that cancer is not active in. So praise the Lord. So all glory to God. So I start radiation tomorrow for that one little area in my lungs for him to heal that area. But so healing doesn't look like what I thought it would, but it's so much more beautiful because he's healing my whole entire being. And I'm so thankful for that.
How do I follow that up? I mean, seriously, I mean, you know, We're just so thankful for what God has done in our lives. Because yes, he's brought healing in so many different ways. Healing never really looks like what we think it should look like. Because here in this instant society that we live in, we expect healing to happen like right now. You know, it should be gone. It should be eliminated. It should be everything. But if we do that, if God did that all the time, we'd miss the beauty of the relationship that he's building. We'd miss the beauty of the journey that we've gone through. And it has been. It's been a rough journey over the last 9 months of our lives. I'm not going to lie. It's been brutal. Man, I've gone through some pretty low spots in my life and at where I've been really down, really depressed and everything. But God, in all of his faithfulness, has shown us his great mercy. And how he has lifted us up out of that, and how he's given us new things. You know, and something new is really not new. Psalm 23 is not a new psalm. Those that are in the Monday Night Men's group with me now, you guys have heard a lot of what I'm going to share and everything. But, you know, the 23rd psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. He didn't start me there. He started me in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Let me tell you something about shepherds, okay? Shepherds can't use a rod and a staff if they're far away. So those of us that feel that God is far away, doesn't care or anything else like this, this very passage debunks all of that. He is right there with us, right there beside us in the valley to guard us, to comfort us, to bring us where he wants to be. Then he backs me up to the first part, where the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. That's what this whole journey with Kit Lori's cancer has been about. He's restored the soul. And let me tell you something, when he restores the soul, it's beautiful. You can't help but be overwhelmed and thankful for the journey. So when we ask, you know, everybody's like, why Lori? Why this precious gift? Why Lori? She's one of the most tender-hearted, most giving, most generous persons on the planet. We look back and we say, why not us? Why not us? Because he has something for us to learn. He has something that he wants to do. He has something big that he wants to take us through. It's all part of the journey that he has brought us through. And that journey is to seek him with everything that we are. That is what Jesus showed us. That is the way he taught us. He showed us that way, to seek the Lord with everything we are. And when we can let go of all of those things, because believe me, I had a pretty unhealthy attachment to my wife. I love my wife to death. I do not want to spend a day without outer or anything else like this. But did I want Lori, or do I want God? Do I want my relationship with him to be greater? And that has been the journey. He showed us how we can let go of the things of this earth and how we can let go of the things that we feel are so important and draw us closer to him through this. And when we do, when we cling to him, oh my goodness, there is nothing we can't accomplish. It has been. The last 9 months of our lives have been brutal, absolutely brutal. I can't tell you the amount of tears that I've cried alone and alongside my wife and alongside others, you know, because it's just been so rough. But the journey, I wouldn't trade it for anything. We wouldn't trade this journey for a thing because of what he has shown us. And that is, he is God, and he is sovereign, and he is in us, and he cares for us. And boy, he knows how to restore a soul.
I'm going to have you stay here. My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that there were 4 active cancers, and now there's 1. And the 1... has it lessened? Where is that at? It was untreatable before. Now they want to treat it, correct?
Yeah. Well, it's not curable, so they're just treating it. And I have it in lymph nodes, lung, liver, and colon.
It's in the liver and the lungs. So colon's where it started. It metastasized into the liver and the lungs.
But now there's only the rest of the cancer is still there, but it's not active at all. and there's only one little spot in my lungs, and that's where they're going to do the radiation. So God's good.
Yeah. And
the spot in her right lung was the one that's been protruding into the airway partially. And when they did the biopsy originally on it, they could not remove that little nudge. The chemotherapy that she's been going through, what, 16 rounds now?
Yeah.
16, 17 rounds of chemo that we've gone, she's gone through, has shrank some of it, but not enough of it. And so with the radiation, when we met her radiation oncologist, what, 2 weeks ago, you think I'm bubbly and outgoing? This woman doesn't, I don't hold a candle to her. But anyway, she was super excited because she's like, I can target that and we can get rid of that. This is the one spot that we thought we'd never be able to really get rid of. So once this one is done, we will continue with chemotherapies. She will continue with chemotherapies to keep the cancer down. It's not a full remission, but it's really darn close to a full remission. Whereas remission is totally an absence of cancer, the tumors are still there. They're just dormant. They're no longer active. They're no longer producing cancer cells or anything else like that.
And what a, thank you for reminding us of that word. That are we seeking him more than the answer to our prayers? Because typically we pray for the things, but we don't really want him. Not really. We say we do. We want what he can give us. And that's really, I think, the goal of every believer is to, I just was reminded, I don't know, it was Spurgeon or somebody. I'm not trying to sound smart. But I just remember a quote, and it was, blessed is the rock that casts me down onto my knees before the feet of the Lord Jesus. That the trials and difficulties that come, the Lord knows how to turn that for our good, but he knows how to turn us to him more importantly. He's life. He is life. And so he's everything. Yeah, amen. Well, what I'd like to do is you guys can go ahead and come down here. I'd like for the church, if we can gather around and let's lay hands on Lori and Chris. And we're just going to continue to pray. And if you're not comfortable, if you need to stay seated for whatever reason, that's totally okay. But we're just going to pray. And I'm okay to pass this mic around. So if you feel led to also pray in agreement, it's good to pray out loud, right? Where two or more are gathered, he's there. And then whatever we ask in his name, he will do. And so we're just going to pray over Chris and Lori. And I'll go ahead and start, but if you would like to also lead us in prayer so we can be in agreement, okay? Let's go ahead and do that. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this precious, precious heart, Lord. This precious couple, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that they are here, Lord, that they are a part of this church body. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing in them. Lord, the greatest work of all is, Lord, to have our eyes open to you, to know you, to love you in return. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are working that in each one of us. And Lord, I thank you for their testimony that reminds us, Lord, that you are the prize. Lord, the things that you do, they're good and they're blessed and they're awesome and we are grateful, but Lord, you are the true prize. And so Lord, we just receive you today in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just declare over Lori's body, Lord, we declare continued healing in the name of Jesus. Lord, we stand on your word. We stand on what you have spoken, Lord, that you are the God who heals us. And Lord, that by your stripes, it was paid for by your precious blood, that by your stripes, she is healed fully in Jesus' name. Lord, I just declare and pray that every trace of cancer would be gone in the name of Jesus, that there would be nothing left, not even the tumors would be left. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. But Lord, we ask that you would bring it to completion, Lord, that you would be glorified, Lord, that you would receive all of the glory and all of the honor, Lord, because you are a good Father who gives good gifts, who loves us and has mercy on us. And so, Lord, we receive this precious thing in Jesus' name, and we declare life. You are life. Lord, come near. Be our shepherd. Lead us by your rod, Lord, and guide us into green pastures, Lord, that you would lead Lori in this time and this season. Continue to open their eyes, strengthen them in spirit, body, and soul by your Holy Spirit. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you'd like to pray, just raise your hand.
Father God, we just thank you so much for Chris and Lori, for bringing them to our home, our church here. God, we just lift them up for continued healing. But God, we just thank you for all the lessons you're teaching them and through them to us. God, we're thankful for their faithfulness. We're thankful that they have chosen to be steadfast in you. God, we thank you that you don't just heal the physical, that you heal body, soul, spirit. And God, in this time that Lori's been going through this, that you've chosen to heal her physically, but also in all other areas, and that out of this, she's chosen to testify of your goodness. And so God, as a body, we pray for her continued healing, wholeness, that you desire all of us to be whole. And so we just continue to lift her up. We continue to have faith that you are healing her in places that we see and the unseen, and that out of this healing are great testimonies that will then affect all those around her, that there would just be a sweep of new faith in the people that she gets to be around. And so God, we just thank you for your goodness, the power of your Holy Spirit, that it just brings peace that we can't even understand and trials that seem unfathomable. God, you are so good to allow us to lean on you. And so we thank you that you've been that for Chris and Lori, that they've been able to lean on you deeply in this season, that they will continue to be able to lean on you deeply, and that there will just be a continual outpouring of your spirit upon them, that there will be tremendous growth in their walks with you, and it'll just be a further testimony of your goodness and your wonder-working power.
Dear Lord, we just magnify you, God. We glorify you, God. Lord, we celebrate you right in this moment. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the testimony, God, of Lori and Chris. God, we thank you because you say in your word that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So as they stood today, God, I heard the Ruach of God blow, God. So Lord, we thank you, God, as a fresh wind, a fresh anointing, God. It overtakes them, God. It revives them in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you for the healing that has taken place, God, and we celebrate you. But more importantly, God, we celebrate the deep things, God, that have been revealed in relationship, God, in conjunction with what has gone on, God, with the relationship that you have renewed, that you have deepened, that you have restored, oh, God. And, Lord, we stand here one heart, one mind, God, giving you glory for what you've done, giving you glory, oh, God, for what has been revealed, God. Lord, we bless you and we magnify you as the Ruach of God blows in this congregation today. That this, God, set a flame, God, that a fire is lit, oh God, in the name of Jesus. That even those today that are standing here in the need of healing, God, as the Ruach blows, oh God, that healing, God, it is here. It is delivered, God. Lord, we thank you by your spirit, God. Lord, I thank you for opening their mouths, oh God. I thank you, God, for them setting, God, others free with the words that were spoken today in the name of Jesus. And as they continue to be an example, God, that you lead them and you guide them, God, into deeper revelation, deeper understanding of you, oh God. And Lord, even this week, God, that you remind us that you're healing in every single area of our lives, God. Lord, we bless you. We magnify you. We thank you for their holy boldness, God. And as the Ruach blows, God, that the fresh anointing comes in every single area. And even those standing here, God, with requests, God, that they're even afraid to utter in the name of Jesus, that it is done. We thank you, God. Oh, we bless your name and we celebrate you today, oh God. We lift you up and we magnify you. This is a testimony, oh God, of how good you are, how great you are. And we stand in awe, God, of what you've done. And as you continue to deepen our relationship, God, we thank you that it started, God, with the opening of their mouth, with them agreeing to come forward with the testimony, God. So, God, we even ask that you bless them in ways they never even imagined this week. Oh, God, undergird Lori and Chris today, God. We thank you and we glorify you in Jesus' name.
The Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Just let's give him thanks, every one of us. Just give him thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It is finished. It is done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just real quick before we're seated, is there anybody here that needs, would like to read prayer for healing or anything? Just kind of work your way in here. I think this is a good moment. The Lord's moving. The Lord's healing. So let's continue to pray and invite. So if you have sickness in your body or pain or you need healing for anything, just come in the middle. We're just going to pray again one more time. Anybody? Yeah, come on in. Come on. You can stay. Chris and Laura, you guys can stay. But Laura, come on in. Great. Anybody else? We got some healthy people in this church. All right. Perfect. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank the Lord we're healthy. All right, let's go. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are the God who heals us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would give our church, Lord, faith. Lord, that you will do what you said you would do. Lord, that you will move in power, Lord. And Lord, that your spirit has been poured out. And Lord, that when your spirit flows, Lord, you move in marvelous ways. And Lord, we just declare continued health and healing, Lord Jesus, into these bodies. Lord, that you would strengthen them. Lord, I pray, Lord, that bones would be strengthened, that ligaments would be strengthened. And Lord, that you would bring things about in us, Lord, that we would be exactly as you've created us to be, Lord, when you said it is good. Lord, we just declare goodness, Lord, over every body, Lord, over every person, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would continue to move in healing power. Lord, we believe that you are the God who heals, and Lord, we put our trust in you in Jesus' name. And so we stand in agreement, Lord, as believers, we stand in agreement, Lord, that you are faithful to your promises, and we say, yes, Lord, let it be done in Jesus' name. We declare the blood of Jesus over these people, Lord, that you would cover them from the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, Lord. Lord, you are life, and we declare, Lord, that you are here and you are moving in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's thank the Lord one more time. Thank you, Lord. We're all here, so greet some people around you before you're seated. Go ahead.
All right. Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see you. My name is Pastor David. I'm glad you guys are here this morning. I was going to make a joke about how it's been so cold, but it's actually starting to warm up, which is amazing. It's supposed to be up to the 50s today and sunny, which is absolutely amazing. You don't like the warmth? Wow. Okay. What a party pooper on the good weather. Goodness gracious. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. I have a couple of announcements here. I don't have a ton, but the one that I do have that I wanted to bring up, we don't have a slide for it, but I'm gonna start with it. Actually, I'll start with welcome card. Let's do that first. If you guys have never been here before, we do have, I think my favorite way to keep people involved is actually through our newsletter, okay? So if you guys fill out a welcome card and give the information, that's not just for us to know, you know, who you are or keep tabs on you or anything weird like that. It actually allows us to have resources to be able to contact you guys and keep up with you. So we've had a couple meetings, I feel like, as staff, and one of the areas that we've been transparent about is we really want to get better at keeping people connected to the church, following up with them, praying for them, things like that. But we can't do that if we don't have your information. I've even had times where I'm like, oh, there's a new person here that I haven't met yet. I really want to meet them, but I'm on stage and start worship, and then church ends, and I never even got to talk to them. So stuff like that happens, and if we have your information, we're able to call you, follow up with you, pray for you, get you connected to groups. A lot of people don't even know that we have groups, and there's all these things happening in the church that sometimes people aren't even aware of, okay? So if you guys fill out a welcome card with your contact information, that is the best way that we can keep you in the loop and keep communicating with you. So there's welcome cards in front of you in the pews, but you can also either scan the QR code, which is up on screen right now, or you can go to dwellinghousechurch.com/connect. dwellinghousechurch.com/connect. That really is the best way that we can keep involved with you. And if you fill them out before, I say this every time I'm doing announcements, but you don't need to fill out everything. We just need your name and any updated information so we're not continuously sending to the wrong email address or if you moved or something like that. Okay, now moving on to the announcement that I referred to earlier. There's a lot of people here, right? There's a lot of people here. I'm excited to see it. And I don't know because I'm not over there, but I imagine some of you guys brought kids, right, that are in kids' church. If you guys don't know our kids' church, we actually do have a curriculum where we're following lessons. We have activities. We have craft. But we do things like worship. We do pray over them. We do teach them about Jesus. It's not just a daycare where we're waiting for church to get out, right? So this really is something that we believe in. It's something where we're feeding into the youngsters. We're feeding into everything that we can for, I feel like, just a childlike faith. I say that as if we're teaching them on that, but really childlike faith is something that we learn from them. But it's really a time where we see Jesus present in kids' church. And so I bring that up to say we need help. So if you guys are available, if that's something you're passionate about, or even if you're not passionate about it, that's something that you guys can get involved with, and that's something that we really would love to get you on the team for. Typically, anybody that's on the team, we only ask them to serve once a month, and you would get trained up and everything like that. But if that's something that you're interested in, please come talk to really any of our staff after service. You can talk to me. I'm not sure if you know who Kelsey is. She's not out here right now, but if you know her, she's a great person to get involved. Or you can simply go to Kids Church afterwards as well and talk to the people in there. They're all on staff right now, I believe, if I remember correctly, the people in Kids right now. But that is something that we need help on. So if you guys are willing and able to serve, we would absolutely love to have you on the team. We can tell you everything involved, but it really is serving once a month. That's kind of the biggest thing. So that's really the biggest announcements that I wanted to cover. But other than announcements, I'm going to lead us in our time of offering. So if you guys would just join me in bowing your heads, closing your eyes. I know we just had prayer, but this is church. If you're not going to pray here, where are you going to pray, right? All right, if you guys could join me. Please, God, I just thank you for taking advantage of this time. Lord, taking advantage of this time where we are focused on you, taking advantage of this time where we give our hearts and our eyes to you. Lord, I pray that you would open up our understanding of the scriptures. I pray that you would speak to us in a way where it may be new to us, Lord, but a revelation that comes from you specifically. Lord, I've heard it said before that revelation brings transformation, and that can happen through just a personal revelation that is brought on by you. So would you have that happen today, Lord, as we give our hearts, as we give our ears, and as we give our minds to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, you came out quick. And you brought up Walmart on my phone.
No, it was up. I promise.
Okay.
I was like, are you shopping while you're... Nope, I had Safari open. I must have clicked on an ad because I was going to read out this scripture when we got to it. Oh, but good. As we go into our time of offering, if you guys are interested or if you're wondering how we do our tithes and offerings, there are going to be multiple ways that you can give. They'll be up on the screen. But really, when it comes to tithes and offerings, this is something where I actually just talked to somebody the other day that was like, I didn't realize there was a difference between tithing and offering. I didn't realize that offering was something where you give what's on your heart. Tithing is giving, you know, the first 10%, or feels like almost a commandment of God, but really everything from tithing and offering comes from our heart, and it's what we're willing to give to the Lord. So I said this last time I actually did tithes and offerings, but when it comes to a sacrifice onto the Lord, it can be a sacrifice of praise, it can be a sacrifice of your time. And when people say that I worship the Lord with all of my heart, that's also your lifestyle, right? That's not just worship when we're up here on stage and singing and giving praise with our mouth. That's actually worship with our lifestyle. And so when it comes to everything that he is, we're in this series called The Names of God right now. I think my favorite so far has been The Names of God, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. That's been my favorite, but we're learning more and more about who God is and every role that he has in our life. A big one that I like to talk about, because I feel like it doesn't always get talked about, is God as our provider. Which really, I know a lot of people that live in fear of what's going to happen with their finances or whatever it may be, and so they try their hardest to fill all of the areas in their life that they think they need to have in order so that they don't run dry, and then they run to God. So God, you're so holy, you're so great, you're so faithful, you are my provider, but I'm going to provide for myself just in case that doesn't work out. I've seen that play out in some people's lives. But God wants our first fruits, amen? God wants us to rely on him. And so when it comes to giving to the Lord, I just said this last time I was up here, but my wife and I recently did our finances, and we were looking through our budgeting. We're like, okay, we got paid on this day. Now we need to allocate out how much money we have for this. The first thing was that we were giving our first 10% to the Lord. That wasn't even a question. That's just something that we do out of the compulsion of our heart because of our relationship with God over the years. He's just proven so faithful and so good to us that we know that that's something that we give out of our heart. It's just another area of our life that we worship him with. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so a lot of people get confused when it comes to church, and they're like, do I have to give money? Should I give money? First of all, you never have to give money. It's something where it's a worship method, I suppose, onto the Lord, and he's after your heart. And so simply all I'm bringing up is that if you have never given, or if you're wondering what I should give or what I should do for this time of tithes and offering, all I'm asking is that you sit with the Lord and you ask him. That's it. If you would sit with the Lord and ask him, what is it, Lord, that you want to give, want me to give to you this morning? Because he could just simply say, I just want your time and your attention this morning and watch what I can do in your life. But he may bring onto your heart, I want you to give this amount for this specific cause, whatever it may be. I had a testimony that would go on way too long if I brought it up into details, but I've seen God do miraculous things with finances when you trust him. I was at this, I don't know, a conference, I suppose, or a guest speaker, and I'm laughing because somebody in the room was with me when this happened, but I was watching this person that was supposed to be really, really good, and they were speaking on stage, and it was Christian, they were a pastor, and they were speaking, and I just found that almost everything they said just, like, rubbed me the wrong way. I had a really hard time, like, listening to them and agreeing with what they were saying. And it really bothered me. And I'm like, oh, man, I was looking forward to this. And then right at the end, I was like, yep, I'm glad I never have to hear from this guy again. And I'm, like, walking out, and I just hear at the end, because the guy was taking an offering for the church, but he was still the one leading it. He was taking the offering. And all of a sudden, I just felt like God was saying, I need you to give to this offering. And I was like, him? Like, now? And I realized, well, God's the one asking me, so I might as well give. And I look in my wallet, and I heard God say, I want you to give $25. Give him $25. At the time, I was in college or in an internship, whatever you want to call it. And so I didn't have a ton of money at the time. We were only working like 15 hours a week or less. And I'm like, I only have $5, Lord. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to give $25. I'm supposed to ask somebody else for the money? And I'm like, looking at my wallet, I'm like, well, I only have $5, Lord. I don't know what to do. And I just kept talking with the Lord. And I kept praying. And I said, Lord, I want to honor you, but I only have $5. I don't know what to do. And then I checked in my wallet, and there was another $10 bill in there. And I was like, that's weird. Like, I don't know where that came from, but then I was like, this was the Lord. So I just kept praying. Another 20 minutes went by where I was just praying in the lobby of this area that we were in. Check my wallet again. There's another $5. So now I'm just $5 short of what the Lord wanted to give me. And to this day, because I had talked to an elder about it in the church, and to this day, my biggest regret is that I caved to my flesh because I was there now for about 45 minutes longer than I wanted to be, almost an hour, and I was on a schedule and I had to get going. And so I gave the $20 that God was providing, and I called it good there. There is so many times in our life where I feel like God wants to come through for us, and he wants to be sure that he's the one doing it, and it's on his time. Because then when we testify and we give these testimonies, people know it couldn't have been anything else other than God, right? And so I feel like I've repented many times of that, but I feel like if I would have stayed and stood in faith, not only would I have seen God come through with that $25, but I feel like something more miraculous would have happened. And I feel like God, as a provider, when you trust in him that way, he's willing to give back and show you what he's capable of. Amen? All right. Amen. So that was an opportunity I missed, and I don't want you guys to miss an opportunity. So, Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for the way that you are speaking to us. And just as I said before, Lord, if somebody is weighing on their heart what they should give, what they should do in this time of tithes and offering, all I ask is simply that you would meet with them, that you would speak to them. Lord, that you would take advantage of their heart being open to you, and you would speak directly to them, just as we prayed for before, but a personal revelation that's brought on by you. Would you put it on their heart what it is that you want them to give this morning? Because, Lord, we just take full advantage of the fact that you are a faithful God, and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, David.
Yep.
Amen. We got to get right into it, you guys. Is that okay? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 9. Matthew 9. And as David mentioned, we have been in a study called The Names of God, and we've been going through, and I just, as I was praying and knowing that we were going to have Chris and Lori share, I just felt like I really feel like the Lord wants us to see his heart today. Anybody else sense that? That we would know not just what he can do, but who he is. And so I was really praying and just asking the Lord, and I really had a sense that he wants us to know that he is the compassionate one, that he's the merciful one. And in fact, we see this in scripture, and I'm going to go there in just a moment, and I'm going to adjust a little bit, so forgive me if I'm a little bit all over the place. But the compassionate one, we see a direct name of God in Deuteronomy 4:31. It says, "The Lord your God is a compassionate God." That word compassionate also means merciful, and it's the root rakum, which means womb. And so this word of compassion is almost this internal, holding close, maternal, taking care of the people that he cares for and longs for. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." So before we get into our scripture, can we do this today? Can we just pray, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is food for us. It is bread. And Lord, as we break this open, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit, as you always do. Lord, that you would feed us and give us what we need today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We see in scripture, and Jesus makes it very clear, that to see him is to see a perfect picture of who the Father is. And so if you're ever wondering, well, what is God like? Look no further than the person of Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus is God. But if we look at him, Hebrews 1:3, it says, he is the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. The English Standard says it this way. It says, Jesus is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And so I just felt moved that we would look at the life of Jesus here as we're talking about how he is the compassionate one. Everybody say he's the compassionate one. Can we say that? As we look at him as the compassionate one, I want to start off by looking at none other than Jesus. And we come to Matthew chapter 9, and I want to start at verse 35. Matthew 9, verse 35. And we're going to take a look at the heart of the Lord here. It says, when Jesus went, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, everybody say, he saw the multitudes. When he saw the multitudes, notice, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, so now Jesus saw the multitude and now he looks to his disciples who were with him and he says, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I want us to first notice that in verse 35, it says Jesus went about all the cities, all the towns, all the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness. How many sicknesses did Jesus heal? Everyone. And every disease among the people. It sounds to me like Jesus was a pretty busy guy. It sounds to me like there was a lot on the to-do list. There was a lot that was in front of him. There was a lot of need, but he himself, I want you to notice, he didn't just say, I'm just gonna sit here and I've already done everything I need to do. You guys just go do it. I'm so touched by the heart of the Lord that he himself went and healed the sick. How many of you know Jesus is our healer? He went to every city. He went to every village. He taught in all the synagogues, and he healed every sickness and every disease. But I want to focus on verse 36. It says, but when he saw the multitudes, how many of you know, even though Jesus had a full plate, even though Jesus was very busy, he still could see people. He could still see the need. He saw the multitudes, and he was what? Moved with compassion. How many of you know compassion? There was something in him. That word compassion is the Greek splagnizomai, which means to be moved into action. That you are moved so deeply that you have to do something about it. And here's Jesus looking at the multitudes, and it says that he was moved with compassion for them because he saw the need. He saw that they were without, like sheep without a shepherd. They were scattered. They were wandering. They were all over the place. Now, just a little context is that these people, he was looking at the Jewish people, and they were people who were under serious oppression. They were under Roman rulership. They were heavily taxed. They were paid low. They didn't have a lot, and there was really nothing they could do about it. Have you ever felt like, I don't even know what I can do to get out of this mess? Aren't you thankful we serve a God who has compassion on us and mercy on us? Amen? And so Jesus saw them in this weary condition, and he recognized, listen, there's no one here to help them. There's no one available to help put this into perspective for them, to show them what they need. But notice, it says when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with splagnizomai. He was moved with compassion. It's when you see someone suffering and there's just something in you, you can't just observe or say, hey, thoughts and prayers. You can't just say, well, good luck, I'm sorry you're going through that, and kind of put on a kind face and all that. It's when you are so filled with compassion that you have to do something. It moves you to action. Now, this exact word, splagnizomai, is used to describe the compassion of Jesus when Jesus sees the crowd here, but it's also used when Jesus heals the sick in Matthew 14. It's also used when he saw when he fed the 4,000 people and he called his disciples, you need to have this same kind of compassion. And it was the same compassion that when Jesus healed the blind man in Matthew 20. It was the same compassion when Jesus heals the leper. It was the same compassion when he taught the crowd in Mark chapter 6. And it was the same compassion when Jesus raised the widow's son from the dead. There was this compassion in him that Jesus was moved with. And Jesus was moved with the compassion, looking to his disciples and saying, who's going to help them? Who is going to help them? We see in Luke 9 Jesus looks to his disciples again. And in Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 1, it says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Who did he send to heal the sick, by the way? Come on, this is an open screen test. Who did he send? He sent the disciples. So now it's not just Jesus going about every town and every village. He's saying, no, I'm giving you the authority. Now you go and have compassion and heal the sick and raise the dead and preach the gospel. He says in verse 3, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs nor bag nor bread nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. Jesus is saying, listen, you already have what you need. All you need is what I've already given you. Come on, if you've been given something in the Lord Jesus, say amen. Amen. I think too often we look at what we can do. What is my gifting? What are my talents? What resources do I have? What can I do? I don't have anything to offer them. How many of you know if you are a believer in Jesus, you already have everything you need? You have him. You have him. And so verse 6 says, they departed and went through the towns. And what did they do? Preached the gospel, healing everywhere. Right before Jesus ascends into heaven, I'm moving at blazing speed. It's okay. You know, there's something that I was praying this morning. I was like, there's a lot going on. And I was like, I don't want to go over time. And I feel like in this season, the Lord is asking me to be respectful of your time. So we're going to get you out of here on time. But also, there will come a day where people won't want to leave because the glory of the Lord will be so thick. There will come a time. We're not there yet, but somebody say it's coming. It's coming. Right before Jesus ascends into heaven, Jesus says to them, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Wait in Jerusalem until you are filled with power from on high. We talked about this last week, and then we see in Acts 1, Jesus ascends into heaven, and we see in Acts 1 as the disciples were praying in the upper room, and they were waiting for the promise of the Father. It says, but you, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and we see in Acts that the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began speaking other tongues, and they were filled with something called power. Somebody say power. And so we have to understand that you not only have everything you need, but we've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given a helper. So when we're talking about the compassion of Jesus, how can I have the same compassion that Jesus had? How many of you know his Spirit lives in you? And if his Spirit is in you, there's this ability for every believer to have the same compassion and the same heart for the people and for the multitudes that are in need. Jesus said, I will build my church. And when the church that he builds is a church that is full of the Holy Spirit and is a church that he builds that is full of faith. And so I would ask you, do you believe in what Jesus has done for you? Do you actually believe that Jesus died for you? Do you believe that Jesus was buried and has defeated death? Do you believe that Jesus was raised to life? Do you believe that he has ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father? And do you believe that he has poured out his Spirit to help the church, to fill his people with something called power? Do you guys believe that? Then may we never say, I don't have enough. May we never say, I can't do what Jesus has asked me to do. May we never say, I don't know how to pray. May we never even say, I don't know how to hear God. Listen, you may not have heard him in a way that you understand or know, but the Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. So if you haven't heard him yet, ask the Lord, Lord, I want to hear you, and you've already given me everything I need to hear your voice. We need to have faith and belief that God really is who he says he is. And so Jesus fills his disciples and he gives them power to preach the gospel, to teach the good news, to heal every sickness and every disease. How many of you know, let me ask you, do we have a junior Holy Spirit that lives in us, or is it the same Holy Spirit? Scripture says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does Jesus change? Does the Holy Spirit change? God is eternal, and he lives inside of us. So when we believe, Scripture says that we are to believe and be baptized. And if you are reading with us in our daily reading plan, we see that there are many times where Paul comes to them and says, you believe in Jesus. That's phenomenal. This is amazing. And there's so many people who believe in what Jesus has done. Let me ask you a question. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? And most of them will say, he will say, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? It's one and the same, but have you been baptized? What baptism have you been baptized with? Many have said just John, the baptism of repentance. He says, let me pray for you because you need something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he would pray for them and the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And they too would be filled with the Spirit to go and to what? To be witnesses. You know, when the Holy Spirit is poured out, one of the last things that we think about is being a witness, right? We may say things like, well, I don't have that gift, or I don't have the ability to share my faith or to tell others what Jesus has done in me. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, one of the major things is that you will be compelled to be a witness. But the sign that the Holy Spirit is in you is that numberless, and I need everybody to hear this. The sign that his Spirit is in you is that you will have a heart of compassion. Because he's the compassionate one. That means that when you go places, you'll see people differently than maybe the way you used to see them, or differently than maybe the way some of the people around you see them. You'll see them in their state, and you'll see the things that they might need, and you can see them the way God has created them. You can see the way that God has called them. You can see the way that God loves them. And when you look at them, you just know that they need to know something. They need to know what I have been given. Jesus said, freely you have received, now freely give, right? So we have been given something. The question is will you have eyes to see the way that Jesus saw? Because his Spirit lives inside of you. Everybody say, Jesus, give me eyes to see. We need eyes to see, amen. I'm going to close with this scripture, but I want to look at Acts chapter 3, and if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. This is so good. This is so good. Are we talking about Jesus, the compassionate one? Acts chapter 3. I pray that you leave here with a great desire to, number one, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number one, to know him, but number two, to be filled with his Spirit, and that we would all leave here with eyes to see him, but also to see those he has sent us to. We are celebrating, just so you guys know, we are celebrating 10 years of Laundry Love next month. Somebody, come on. It's 10 years that we have been going to the laundromat on the second Wednesday of every month, 10 years to pay for people's laundry, because everyone deserves clean clothes, and to pray with them and to love them. And it is probably the ministry that I think is most beautiful. It's not the talent of our worship. It's not the speaker. The most beautiful thing I think that we do as a church is to love people and to pray with them and to meet a need. Look at Acts chapter 3. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit on his disciples. Peter and John, who had been filled with the Holy Spirit, are together. And it says in verse 1 that they went up together at the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, that's around 3 p.m. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb, this man was lame, he could not walk. And this wasn't like this man just got hurt on the job and was going through a rough season. This man has been crippled all his life. This was a serious need. And when you were crippled in those days, there was not this welfare system. The only system was you would depend on people to have mercy and to give you a little something so that you could eat and make it another day. And so this man was sitting at the gate of the temple where there's higher traffic, where there's more people coming through, and he's begging for alms. And it says, this man was lame from his mother's womb, who was carried, laid daily at the gate, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said. Notice, Peter did not just walk by this man. What did Peter do? He fixed his eyes on him. A sign that the Holy Spirit is in you is you will see people, and you will see in a moment the Lord wants to do something in your life. The Lord wants me to pray for you. The Lord wants me to give you something. The Lord wants to give you a word, or I feel like I just need to share what God's been doing in my life. Can I just share that with you right now? And so Peter, he sees this man who is begging, and this guy who was filled with the Holy Spirit now has not just been given eyes to see people physically, but he now has eyes to see people spiritually. And if Jesus is the compassionate one and his Spirit lives inside of you, then we too should be moved with compassion. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so Peter, seeing this man, he was moved with compassion. And what did Peter say? Peter said, look at us. Now, I'm sure this man saw them coming and kind of just looked down and was kind of just throwing it out like here. But Peter wanted this man to see something. And even though Peter was the one speaking and saying, listen, I'm gonna give you something, it wasn't Peter speaking and it wasn't Peter giving it. It was the Lord himself saying, look at me. Do not underestimate that when the Lord calls you to something, that when you walk in obedience, people aren't just seeing you, they're seeing the Lord Jesus in you. And so here they are. Peter says, look at me. And what he was really calling him to was, you need to see the Lord today. You need to know what he's done for you. You need to know what he has paid for. You need to know what you can have right now. And so Peter says, look at us. And so the lame man gives him attention. And this Peter, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, this man looks at him and expecting to receive something from him, he was expecting just another coin in the bucket. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. I think it's very telling that we oftentimes think we know what we need, but he really knows what we need. Sometimes we have a very low level of expectations. Would you give me just a couple coins, not knowing this man was about to be healed? And so Peter says, silver and gold, I don't have. Notice, it's not about what I have physically. I have been given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and let me give him to you. And so he says, silver and gold, I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And scripture says he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. This is such an interesting phrasing, because this man wasn't able to just walk, but he was like really weak. You know, if you haven't walked your whole life, you got skinny legs. You got legs like me. No, I'm just playing. My legs are fine, right? You got skinny legs. You don't have the capacity, even if you had this ability now and coordination and this whatever's going on in the brain connecting to give you the ability to walk, you don't have the coordination to do it, and you don't have the muscle to do it. How many of you know Jesus' heart is to bring complete healing? Yes. Isn't that what we prayed for today? Yes. Is that what we prayed for today? Yes. Are we thankful for what the Lord's done? Yes. Yes. But we pray for more, Lord Jesus. Amen. We pray for full healing in Jesus' name. This man receives strength in his legs. This man received something that was so precious. And too often we act like, I don't have anything. I'm just going to go to church, do my time, and live my life. And we so underestimate the function and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Oh, but that we would have eyes to see him. Oh, that we would have eyes to see him and what he wants to do in our lives. That we would see what we have been given and that we would use it in Jesus' name. And so Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. It says he came out of the wilderness filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, how many miracles did Jesus do? Everybody say zero.
Zero.
Jesus was modeling. He had given up everything. He became fully man. He was God, but he was fully man. And he's saying, listen, I needed the Holy Spirit to fulfill my ministry. You need the Holy Spirit to fulfill your ministry. And Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also, and greater works than these you will do, because I go to the Father. And so now, has Jesus gone to the Father? He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and the proof that he has poured out his Spirit is proof that he made his destination. The proof that he brings healing to bodies when we ask is proof that he is at the right hand of the Father, that he has been given the name above every name, and he has given us his Holy Spirit. Amen. Verse 8, and I'm going to close. Let's stand together. Verse 8, let me read this to you. So this man, after he received strength in his legs, it says, leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people, how many people? All the people saw him walking and praising God. The only appropriate response for what Jesus has done in our lives is to praise him. It's to lift our voice and to give him thanks. That's why when we are in our times of worship, how many of you know those aren't just songs? It's not just a set list. Just put on a CD then. No, we're here to gather as a body of Christ to worship the Lord together. And scripture says that wherever the Lord is worshiped, we enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise, that when we give him worship, he is in this place. The only appropriate to the move of the Lord is to give him praise. So I'm going to ask that we do this right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, can we just lift our hands to the Lord? And maybe you've never talked to the Lord. I'm going to make it very easy for you. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. Lord, if all we ever had was salvation from sin, Lord, that's everything. But Lord, you are so good. You give good gifts and you pour out healing. And Lord, you've given us your Spirit, Lord, that we too, you are the compassionate one. And because your Spirit is in us, Lord, we too can be people who are moved with compassion and see the power of the Holy Spirit move through people and to move in people's lives. And so Lord, right now we say thank you, Lord, for what you've done. But Lord, we say thank you for what you will do, because you are infinitely good. You are better than we could ever imagine, better than we could ever think. Lord, you are great. And so, Lord Jesus, we invite you into our lives. Just say, Lord, I invite you into my life. Open my eyes that I would see you and that I would know you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now keep your hands up. I'm going to pray over you. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would fill every person here with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would come upon us in power, that you would fill us with a heart of compassion, with hearts of love. Lord, it was the prerequisite, Lord. It was what you moved you, Lord, to see healings, to see miracles, to pray for people. Lord, that we would mourn with those who are mourning, that we would rejoice with those who would rejoice, Lord, that you would do such a work in us, Lord, not just acknowledging, yeah, he's given us a spirit. Lord, would you fill us with a spirit of faith, Lord, to fully believe and to fully trust in every word that you have said. And Lord, if we maybe are here and we're like, I don't know, he's got to prove something. Lord Jesus, if you prove anything, Lord, let us see your love. Oh, Lord, it's already been proven. Maybe we don't even have to look any further than the cross, the perfect demonstration of your love for us. And so, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise today. In the name of Jesus, we all said amen. 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 Can we thank the Lord for his word this morning? Amen. Aren't you glad we serve the compassionate one? He's the compassionate one. All right, we love you guys. Before you're dismissed, be sure to tell somebody around you. You love them. Pray for somebody. Greet some people. And we'll see you next week. God bless you.